Morning. Today's daf b'choros daf vav. The Mishnah yesterday in daf hem and beis introduces to the idea of animals giving birth to other animals that are mutated, and there are two points of consideration. One is whether or not there's a kedushas b'chor. Let's say a kosher animal gives birth to an animal that's a mutation. So is that mutated offspring going to have kedushas b'chor? A second issue the Mishnah takes into consideration is whether or not it is going to be a kosher animal for achila. So those are two separate halachas. It's going to lead us to a great discussion in the Gemara today regarding various discharges that come out of a kosher animal and whether or not they're going to be kosher. Milk from a kosher animal, milk from a non-kosher animal, et cetera, et cetera. That is the Mishnah that we learned yesterday. If you look back at the Mishnah yesterday, so the Mishnah starts off with Parshi Yalda min Chamor v'Chamor Shalda Kimin Sus. So the Mishnah gives a number of examples of these mutations where a cow gives birth to a donkey or a donkey gives birth to a horse. So petura min abachora. So the Mishnah says that there's an exemption from the din b'chor. Why should emer petachamor shnei pamim? Achi ha yulad chamor v'hanolad chamor. So the Mishnah tells us that both have to be a donkey. Both the mother and its offspring have to be a donkey. And as a result of that, consequentially, if it's mutated, so it does not have kedushas b'chor. And then the Mishnah goes on to discuss achila, but that's coming up later on. This morning. The Gemara makes exactly the same point. The Gemara quoting a Mishnah. Later on, the Masechta makes exactly the same point. Let's take a look because there's one additional detail that comes out. We're going to start in the Gemara where the Gemara quotes an upcoming Mishnah. Tanan Hasan, we learned over there. Rachel Shialda Menez Ve'ez Shialda Min Rachel. So the Mishnah is discussing a scenario in which either a goat gives birth to a sheep or sheep gives birth to a goat, Patamina Bechorah. So then there's going to be an exemption from Kedushas B'chor, V'im Yeshba, Mixa Simanim Chayev. So what the Mishnah upcoming tells us is this idea of Mixa Simanim. Mixa Simanim is the idea that that as long as there's some resemblance between mother and offspring, so then there is going to be Kedushas B'chor. Now, I don't know if I made this point clearly yesterday, so it gives me an opportunity to reset and make this point as clear as possible. If there is somewhat resemblance, what we're going to call mixa simanim, if there is somewhat resemblance between the mother and its offspring, so it's kedushas b'chor. On the other hand, it's mutated, and so because it's mutated, so that's what's called a shinui. Now, a couple days ago in the daf, we discussed this idea of shinui. So, what does shinui mean? Shinui means it's a mum, it's a blemish. So, just to make sure that we have this clear, it will have kedushas b'chor if it's a firstborn. The firstborn that comes out that has mixa simanim that's similarly resembling its mother is going to have kedushas b'chor, but it can't be offered as a karban. But that's not a big deal. In other words, okay, so it has kedushas b'chor and it can't be offered as a karban, so that means that the kohanim get to eat it without having to offer it as a karban. But it still has kedushas b'chor and it can only be eaten by a kohen. Fine. So it's just an important point to realize in terms of mixa simanim gives it kedushas b'chor, but because it's mutated, it's somewhat mutated, so therefore that qualifies as a shinui, and therefore it's not going to be brought as a karban. Fine. So minani mili. Now, we did this gemara yesterday, but it's just to see the entire daf today, so this is going to be play a big role. So minani mili, so where does this come from? In other words, how do I know that mixa simanim is going to have kedushas b'chor? And if it's totally dissimilar, if it's what comes out is a totally different animal, it's a full mutation, so then it's not going to have kedushas b'chor. How do I know this? So the Gemara quotes Amar of Yehuda, Amar Krach, b'chor shor shehu shor, b'chor shor, b'chor kesef shehu kesef, b'chor kesef, b'chor eis shehu hu eis, b'chor eis. So Rav Yehuda, who parenthetically, by the way, not parenthetically, but is an Amora, so he says, well, it's based on the following drasha. So you look in the Pesuk in Parshas Korach, it says b'chor shor, and it does that for kesef and eis as well. Ox, sheep, and goat. And what the Torah is telling us is that you have to have its mother and its offspring being of the same type. So yachol afilu yeshbo mixa simanim tamalamar ach chalak. Now what about mixa simanim? What if it's not a full mutation? What if it's just a partial mutation? Mixa simanim. So the word ach, which is in the pasuk, is there to create a miut and tells us that the only time that there's a removal of kedushas b'chor is when it's a full mutation. But if it's just a partial mutation, so then there's not a removal of kedushas b'chor. Okay. Now, that's great. Problem, of course, is that our Mishnah addressed the very same issue, and our Mishnah sought the source of this from a totally different pasuk. And that's the Gemara's question. V'hatana peter kanasiv la lapara. when our Mishnah addresses the very same question, our Mishnah turns to a different pasuk, notably at the end of Parshas Bo, in Perek Gimel Shmos. So how could it be that Rav Yehuda is citing another source for teaching us the very same halacha? So Huda Amaka Rabbi Yosi Aglili. So the Gemara says, okay, Rav Yehuda, who's an Amora, he's not conjuring up this drasha. He gets it from Rabbi Yosi, who's a Tana. Detanya Rabbi Yosi Aglili Amar Ach Bechor Shor Ashtehu Shor Bechor Shor Bechor Kesev Ashtehu Kesev Bechor Kesev O Bechor Eiz Ashtehu Eiz Bechor Eiz Yachol Afili Yesh Bo Mixes Samanim Tamal Amar Achalak. Okay, good. So now what do we have? We have a Brisa, and the Brisa quotes Rabbi Yosi, and Rabbi Yosi darshins it from the psukim that Rabbi Yehuda quoted from. Okay, but when all said and done, it still now leads us to a machlokus. Now, when I say a machlokus over here, I don't mean they're arguing in position, right? We're in full agreement that a full mutation is going to remove Kedushas Bechor. A partial mutation will not remove it from Kedushas Bechor. And again, to clarify, it's still going to be Shino. It can be offered as a carbon on the Mizbech, but it's going to have a status of a Bechor. Fine. The Mishnah said it, and Rabbi Yossi said it as well. The only point of debate is where are we getting this from? Are we getting it from the psukim of Petra Chamor, the repetition, where that's the Mishnah, that the repetition tells us that the mother has to be a Chamor and the offspring has to be a Chamor, and they need to mimic one another, they need to replicate one another? Or do we learn it out from Bechor Shor, Bechor Kesef, Bechor Eiz? What's the source? So by my kemiflagi, Tana Didan Savar Gal Rechman B'Kedushas Damim. So, as far as the Machlokis is concerned, the Gemara gives an analytical explanation of what they're really debating. What they're really debating is as follows. Look, in our Mishnah, so we're darshing from Petra Chamor. That's obviously talking about firstborn donkey. Firstborn donkey has what kind of Kedusha? Kedusha's Damim or Kedusha's Agov? Well, the answer is obvious. It's Kedusha's Damim. The donkey is never going to go on the Mizbeach, nor is its substitution going to go on the Mizbeach. It's only Kesef Kohanim. It's money that is going to go to the Kohanim. But it's Kedusha's Damim, it's not Kedusha's Aguf. So, if we're learning this halacha from an area of Kedusha's Damim, so what then? Kedusha's Aguf. So for sure we're going to learn it out then from Kedusha's Aguf. Meaning the stepping stone is Kedusha's Damim, it's only going to have Kedusha when it's replicated, when the offspring is replicating its mother. So for sure Kedusha's Aguf, which is a higher plane, so for sure there's only going to have Kedusha when there's replication. Fine. And Rav Yossi goes in the other direction, because where is Rav Yossi darshaning from the Pesukim and Korach dealing with a cow, a goat, and a sheep? Or cow, I say cow, a bull, right? Tomorrow I'm going to the farm. I'll get it straight. So we're either it's a bull or it's a goat or it's a sheep. So but those are obviously animals that can be offered on the Mizbeach. So that's Kedushas Haguf. So what Rav Yosi Galili is saying is that, no, we're going to go in the other direction. We're going to learn a source from Kedushas Haguf, and from there, if the halacha is by Kedushas Haguf, certainly it's going to be by Kedushas Damim. V'gamer Kedushas Damim, Kedushas Haguf. Okay, so basically, it's a conceptual debate of which direction is the more seamless direction in terms of what we're learning from to what we're learning to. Is it more seamless to learn from something which is Kedushas Damim, that's Chamor, that's our Mishnah, to Kedushas Haguf, that's the Shor Eiz Keves of Rav Yossi, or is it more seamless to learn from Kedushas Damim, from Kedushas Haguf, that's Rav Yossi, to Kedushas Damim, that's our Mishnah. Now, V'tani Didan, Hai Bechor Bechor Mayavid Leh, and now the Gemara is going to go into its traditional discussion of what is each Tana going to do with the other Drasha? Meaning there are drashas obviously to come out from both of these psukim, and so if you're subscribing to one drasha, what does that leave you do with the other drasha? And the Gemara now does its traditional dance of what does each one do with the other drasha? So our Mishnah, so what does he do with the drashas of Bechor? So my avilei mi bailei lechad Rav Yosi Rabbi Chanin, dam Rav Yosi Rabbi Chanin, alam enamru imurim bebechor, sure, imurim bebechor kesef, imurim bebechor eiz. So why is it that the Torah has to specifically repeat and spell out that the imurim, the sections of the organs that are going to go up onto the Mizbeach, they are the diaphragm, the kidneys, the fat surrounding those organs. So how do I know that they go up onto the Mizbeach? The Torah specifies by each one of them. And the argument is, according to Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chinin, the Torah had to do that. Tzricha. So now, why I can't learn out one from the other? So if I start, if the Torah only introduced us to Imurim of the shore, so there's a lot of Imurim. Shekenis Rabbe Mesachim, Kesef Shekenis Rabbe Ba'alya. Now, as far as the sheep is concerned, the sheep has a section of it that none of the other animals have, and that is a fatty tail. Right, the shore does not have a fatty tail, and the aes does not have a fatty tail. Only the sheep has a fatty tail, so that's unique by sheep. And be'ez shekenis rabba etzav as kochavim biyachid. And the goat, well, the goat is a special carbon that's brought by an individual that's ovid avodah zarah. Ovid avodah zarah has a unique carbon to it. It's a carbon chatos, but specifically a goat, and that's something unique about a goat. So each one of them individually has unique aspects. So therefore, I can learn out. The Torah can't tell me in one place and just bring it off and just precedent it for the other two. So the Gemara says, okay, but can't the Torah would love conservation, so why doesn't it tell us the halacha of Imurim by two of the three? And then we could learn at the third by the two. So how about the Torah not mention it by shor and just mention it by the sheep and the goat? So malahanach shekenis rabu eitz psachim. Sheep and a goat are both eligible to be brought as a Karban Pesach. A shor is not eligible to be brought by Karban Pesach. So we can't do that. How about not writing it by sheep and learn it out from bull and goat? So malahanach shekenis rabu eitz avos kochavim b'tzibur. If a community is being ovid avodah zarah, so there are two karbanos that are brought. One is the bull and the other is the goat. So you see that bull and goat are unique in avodah zarah b'tzibur. If the community is being ovid avodah zarah, obviously sheep is not included. So therefore, I can't learn out sheep from bull and goat. And lo nichtav rachmana be'ez v'teisi mahanach. And the Torah did not need to. Well, how about this? The Torah doesn't even need to write it by goat, and I'll learn it from bull and sheep. No, because the bull has a ribu, has excess when it comes to the mizbeach. Its excess is just simply its size. It's so massive that it's going to have extra imurim. The sheep also has excess as it relates to the mizbeach. Its fatty tail. The goat does not have the size, nor does it have the fatty tail. Hilkach trichi, therefore, all of them are necessary. Rav Yosef Aglili im Kain. Now, as far as Rav Yosef Aglili is concerned, he agrees with it, but the problem is that he already has the pasuk designated for his drasha. So how is he learning out these halachas? So lichtov kra ach b'chor shor kesev eiz, b'chor lamali. The Torah could have just simply said b'chor shor v'kesev in one breath. The fact that it repeats it individually, alav shmamina achitehu shor b'chor shor. So we're learning out both halachas. One, the Torah had to spell out imurim by all three types of animals. And two is that in order for there to be kedushas b'chor, there has to be replication. Okay. Rav Yosef Aglili, hi petochamor my avile. Now we have to go in the other direction. Rav Yosef Aglili, who learns out the halachas of replication from ach b'chor shor. So what does he do with the repetition of petochamor in Parshas Bo? So the Gemara now addresses this question. So the following brayse, Rav Yosef Aglili amar mitoch shenemar ach pado tiftos b'chor ha'adam ve'ez b'chor ha'behema atmea tifdeh. So by virtue of the fact that the Torah says that there's redemption by humans and there's redemption by donkeys, firstborn donkeys, shomei ani afilu pitrei susim v'gemalim. So here's what I might have thought. The Havamina goes like this. You know, it's a little bit odd that you have a firstborn donkey. It's not going to be going on to the Mizbeach. Of course not. It's not kosher. And meanwhile, the Torah says redeem it. Oh, okay, fine. So if the Torah wants me to redeem firstborn donkeys, I guess the Torah wants me to do the same thing regarding firstborn horses, firstborn camels. Okay, so it's not kosher. So what? The donkey's not kosher. Maybe the donkey is just there as a binyanav. The firstborn donkey is going to be redeemed. Firstborn, every non-kosher animal is going to be redeemed as well. Tamalomer, petachamor, petachamor. Amarti lecha v'lo pitrei susim gamalim. So that's why the Torah has to repeat petachamor two times. Once to establish the halacha, second time. This is not a precedent. This is a exception. This is exceptional. The only non-kosher animal that's going to be redeemed is your firstborn donkey. V'adayin ani omer, the Gemara says, yeah, but can't I argue like this? Maybe all non-kosher animal firstborns need to be redeemed. And the only thing unique about the Petra Chamor is how do I redeem it? Petra Chamor I redeem with a sheep. With the other non-kosher animals, firstborn non-kosher animals, I can redeem it with anything. And when I say anything, I don't know what I mean, to be honest. But the Gemara says, b'chol davar, maybe, whatever. Any animal, right, we're going to learn this later in our perek, right? The sheep does not have to be the same price as the chamor. It doesn't have to be the same cost. You don't need dollar for dollar value of the sheep and the chamor. Okay, whatever. And when it comes to other non-kosher animals, maybe you redeem it with anything. It doesn't have to be a sheep. So, tamalamer, petr chamor shnei pa'amim. Pitri chamorim amart l'chavala, pitri susim agamalim. So, this is all part of the Gemara suggestion. So, the Gemara suggestion is that maybe that's why there's repetition. There's repetition only to tell me not that the donkey has exclusivity towards Bechor. All non-kosher animals have the halacha of Bechor and the need for redemption. The only difference is how to redeem it. Okay. So, Paruch Rav Achai, we're on the top of Vav Amid Aleph. So, Ikas Rechman Achad, Hava Amina Davishay Haya Bechla V'yatza Min HaKlal, Lamed Lo Lamed Alatzma Yatza Lamed Al HaKlal Kulo Yatza Ula Olam B'Seh. So, the Gemara Sur of Achai says, well, why don't we make the following argument? If the Torah only would have said Petra Chamor one time, so that would have been a binyanav. Fine. And so that means that every animal has to be redeemed with a sheep. So the ema miatina misel olam bechol davar. And the second time is that, well, we're not excluding all other non-kosher animals from the halacha bechor, but we're just excluding them from how are they going to be redeemed. Meaning basically Rav Achai is resurrecting the question of the Braisa. So im kein lichtov rechmana petra chamor tifteh beseh, V'chamor tifteh b'seh. Peter chamor tifteh b'seh. Peter chamor tifteh b'seh. Lamali? Pitcher chamor. Mamati l'chavala pitcher esusim v'gamalim. So the Gemara says the answer to this is really a textual answer. If you look carefully at the repetition of the Torah, where the Torah repeats this idea that you have to redeem your firstborn donkey, if it was what we suggested, that firstborn donkeys have to be redeemed with a sheep, and all other animals just need redemption, just not with a sheep, the Torah's verbiage would have been the first time, Petra Chamor Tifteh B'Seh, and the second time would have been Petra Chamor Tifteh B'Seh. Incorrect. Let me do that again. The first time would have been Petra Chamor Tifteh B'Seh, and the second time would have been V'Chamor Tifteh B'Seh. Right. The second time would have just accentuated, oh, the donkey has to be redeemed with a sheep, and all other non-kosher animals could be redeemed in any other way. That would have been the verbiage of the Torah if Rav Achai, if the suggestion of the Braisa were correct. By virtue of the fact that when the Torah repeats, the Torah says, Peter Chamor, specifically those two expressions, those two words, the Torah repeats two times, that tells me it is only Peter Chamor. It's only the firstborn donkey that requires redemption. All other animals do not require redemption. Okay.
So how does he learn that you can't have a mutation?
In other words, he'll learn from Bechor Shor and Bechor Eiz and Bechor Kesef. That goes back to the original brace of Rav Yossi Aglili. Right? In other words, Petra,
does that include the Chamor, though? We're talking about three different animals.
Oh, I see. In other words, those are the kosher animals. So that was the Gemara also addressed. So the Gemara says that the where he learns it from is Kedushas Aguf, and then we jump from Kedushas Aguf to Kedushas Damim. If Kedushas Aguf has this requirement of this halach of replication, so Kedushas Damim for sure has halach of replication. Okay. Amar, Vitana Didan, sorry, skip one line. Let's not do that. Vitana Didan Lamute Susim Gamala Manale. Now, our Tana that excludes non-kosher firstborn animals, where does he derive it from? Meaning, so for Rav Yosef, Lily, we just went through, he learned it out from the repetition Petra Chamor two times. Our Tana, who uses Petra Chamor to teach us halacha of replication, non-mutation, so where does he learn out the halacha that redemption only applies to non-kosher donkeys? Amar Papa kol mitnecha tizachar. Klal, shor v'seh v'chamor, prat. Klal u'prat, emecha alamasha v'prat. So Rav Papa, in explanation of our Tana, of our Mishnah, says like this. It's a klal u'prat. If you go through the psukim, in here now, we are in Parshas Kisisa. Right, the Torah numerous times introduces us to the halachas of Bechor. So in Parshas Kisisa, the Torah says that all your herd, all your flock is going to require firstborn kedusha, and that's a generality. But then the Torah gives examples: shor, seh, chamor. So what are these examples? That's prat. And so here we have a classic rule of klal prat, and we know what the rule is. klal upran ein bechal elamasha beprat. Shor v'sevach hamor in midi achrini lo. So that means now that only these examples are included in the halachas, no other animals. So that means that since chamor is highlighted and it's the only animal that's given as an example, so that means that the halach is only to chamor, not to others. V'Rabbi Yosi Aglili Peter hifsik ha'inyan. Now Rabbi Yosi Aglili says that if you look at the pasuk carefully, you'll see that it says Peter before it says the word chamor, and that's a break in the action. V'Rabbanan. Now as far as the chachamim are concerned, vav hadar arvekra. Yeah, but it says v'Peter chamor. Probably u'Peter chamor. But anyway, but it has the vav, and the vav is conjunction. And it puts it back together again. Sews the pasuk up. Rav Yosef Aglili lo lichtav lo vav lo peter. And as far as Rav Yosef Aglili is concerned, well, why would the Torah have to do that? Why would the Torah have to break in the action with the word peter and then have vav be the conjunction putting that expression back to the beginning of the expression and to make it a seamless kalo prat? Don't have the peter, don't have the vav. V'rabanan, I did the ha-kedusha zamen, va-kedusha zikuv, pasuk lei, v'hada arev lahum. But the Chacham's response to Rav Yosef Galili is very good. You know why the Torah has to make some sort of break, even though it's not a real break? The Vav really stitches it up. But the Torah has to make some sort of demarcation because Shur and Eiz are Kedushas Aguf, Chamor is Kedushas Adamim. The Torah didn't want to just simply string them together as if they're all the same. They're not the same. Bechor and Eiz are Kedushas Aguf. Chamor is Kedushas Damim. So that's why the Torah had to put in a break. But the Torah at the same time also wanted to keep the klal uprat together. That's why the Torah inserted a vav, keeping the klal uprat together, telling us that the halacha only applies to chamor, not to any other non-kosher animal. Adkan. Okay, so that was a lot of back and forth in the Gemara regarding the drushas of where we learn that replication versus mutation. So either the Mishnah learns that from Petach Hamor, the repetition Parshas Bo, or Rabbi Yosef Aglili learns it out from Bechor Shor, Bechor Keves, Bechor Eiz, the Psukim in Parshas Korach, and then the Gemara just basically went through its classic, and what does each Tana do with the other Tana's Psukim? Tana Didan, a little bit later down. Ibai Lahu. Okay, we're on Vavam and Aleph, and we're about a third of the way down, a little bit more than that. And the Gemara, beginning of the line, and the Gemara now opens up with the following question. Parashial Damin Chamor. So, V'yesh Bo Mixas Eman, Imahu. So, let's say we have the following scenario. You have the cow giving birth to a donkey. Again, these are mutations. So, the cow gave birth to a donkey, and there's Mixas Eman. And there are some similarities. So, again, what did we learn earlier this morning? So, the drushas is that if the offspring totally is dissimilar to its mother, so then there's no Kedushas Bechor. If there is partial similarity, so then there is Kedushas Bechor. But again, I'll say what I said in the beginning of Shir today, that's still a Shinui. It's still not going to go on the Mizbech, but there is Kedushas Bechor. The Gemara's question over here is as follows. Okay, so we have now a mutation, but the mutation does not look like its mother, and it's not even a kosher animal. So let's say our first example. Our first example, which is going to be the easiest one, and the Gemara, quite frankly, is going to have pretty much no problem answering it. But the first question is that the mother is a para, that means it has Kedushas Aguf, and the mutated offspring, now again, Mixas Semanim, just keep saying that to yourself, has to be Mixas Semanim, because if it's full mutation, it doesn't have Kedusha whatsoever. And the offspring with Mixas Semanim is a Chamor, which is not Kedushas Aguf. So, that's question number one. Aish yaldam in rachel v'rachel shaldam in aiz dechi yesh mixas Semanim chayev v'bechor dehatorah v'hatorah ha-kedushas aguf ha-kedushas aguf. So let's go over a case that we know what the halacha would be. Sheep gives birth to a goat, or a goat gives birth to a sheep with Mixas Semanim. So there, yes, it's true, it's mutation, but look what the mutation is. It's still something with Kedushas Aguf, right? If the sheep give birth to something that looked like a goat, sheep and goats both have Kedushas Aguf. They both have a status of Bechora. Okay, so the halacha is going to have Kedushas Bechor. So HaKedushas Aguf, HaKedushas Aguf, Hacha, on the other hand, when my cow gives birth to a donkey, so one is Kedushas Aguf, that's obviously the cow. The other is Kedushas Damim, that's the donkey. And so therefore, maybe they're so dissimilar that maybe it will not give us Kedushas Bechor. Oh, Dilma. On the other hand, a cow has Kedushas Bechor, and a donkey, the world of donkey, also has Kedushas Bechor. So maybe over here, it's true that it's a mutation, but both of them have Kedushas Bechor, albeit different, but still, they both have Kedushas Bechor. The imtim stalama kevin the idivite mikdash bebachara kadosh. So the Gemara says, well, let's say that our cow giving birth to our donkey, again, mixa simanim, it's going to have kedushas bechor. So let's say that. Now let's move on to the second question, and now they're going to get harder. Chamur shialda min sus. Let's say my donkey gave birth to a horse. So now, and again, mixa simanim. Just keep repeating. It has to be. So maho. So hachavade lo bas mikdash bebacharahu. Odima kevin de mintmeahu kadosh. So here, if my donkey gives birth to a horse, so on one hand, the argument is, you know, the horse has no kedushas bechor, as we already established in the beginning of Shir today. A donkey is the only non-kosher animal that has kedushas bechor. All other non-kosher animals have no kedushas bechor. So here, if our mutated offspring is a horse, so there a horse has no kedushas bechor. So therefore, the horse has this mutation has no kedusha. Or on the other hand, the Gemara argues, well, that's true, but they're both similar enough. How are they similar enough? The mother, the donkey is a non-kosher animal, and its offspring is a non-kosher animal. And that is enough of a similarity to create kedusha in the partially mutated offspring. So imtim salomar, and the Gemara now is going to ask question number three. Question number three, of course, is going to be the hardest of the questions. So, imtim salomar kevin de mintameahu kadosh. So let's assume that for question number two, it does have kedushas bechor. So now, parashial de mintsus. In question number three, the cow gave birth to a horse. So again, it does not look totally like a horse, partially looking like a horse. Mahu. Hachavad atar atameah. Now look at the dissimilarities between the mother and its offspring. The mother is an animal with kedushas aguf. And let me not start there. Let me go in the order of the Gemara. The mother is a kosher animal. Its mutated offspring is a non-kosher animal. Habas mikdash bebechor v'halobas mikdash bebechorah. The mother is of a type that has kedushas bechor. Its offspring, which looks somewhat like a horse, has no kedushas bechor. So they're really totally dissimilar from one another. On the other hand, there is mixa simanim. There is some resemblance between the mother and its offspring. And so maybe that's enough to create kedushas bechor. So Toshma. So the Gemara says so. We're going to answer the questions. Or at least we're going to attempt to answer the questions. Question number one is clearly going to get answered in the affirmative. Questions two and three get a little bit trickier. Tashma. Behematora shialda min behematameya. Ptur min bechora. If a kosher animal gives birth to a mutation where it looks now, its offspring looks like a non-kosher animal, ptur min bechora. Im yesh bo mixa samanim chayavis bechora. However, if there's partial resemblance, so that it does have kedushas bechora. Now, Gemara is going to analyze the braisa we just learned together. Now, it doesn't tell us what exactly what the case was. All we know in the Brice is that the mom was a kosher type, and its offspring was a non-kosher type. And if we have mixa simanim, so then as kedushas bechor. Now, we can insert the examples, or at least we think we can. Maybe the mother is a cow. Maybe the offspring is somewhat looks like a horse. Oh, if that's true, we've answered all three questions, because this addresses the last question. So the Gemara says, "Lo, parshial de min chamor." So the Gemara says, "Yeah, but the Braisa doesn't give the examples, and you don't have to be so radical in your examples that you provided. You could have given more conservative examples. Mother was a cow, and the offspring was a chamor, and that was question number one. And we said by question number one, there are the most similarities. Most similarities because they both have kedushas bechor. Tashma, parshial de min chamor v'chamor shial de min sus peturim min bechorah." If a cow gives birth to a donkey, or if a donkey gives birth to a horse, so there's exemption. There's in a scenario where there are no similarities. However, if there are some similarities, so then there's kedushas bechor. Now, this braisa seems to be pretty clear, because in the braisa actually spells out the examples: cow giving birth to a donkey, donkey giving birth to a horse, right? And at the end of the braisa, if there's partial resemblance, so then there's status of bechorah. Now, my lava tarvayu, isn't that last clause of the braisa going on both of the examples? So the Gemara says, not necessarily. Lo, a parshial de min chamor. So, no, it's only going on the first example. And again, first example is easier because the mother and its partially resembled offspring, the cow and donkey, both have kedushas bechor. Ava chamor shial de min sus lamai ketanila, lepetura. So then why did the braisa give the example of donkey horse, mother's a donkey, and its offspring looks like a horse, just to tell us about exemption? Pshita. The Gemara says, don't we know that? Hashem Aparshi Elda Ben Chamor De Idi Veidi Benei Mikdash VeBechor Ninu Amarti Mishpo Mixas Samanim In VeIlo Lo. If a cow gives birth to a donkey and it is totally dissimilar, so there's going to be exemption. Chamor Shealda Ben Sus Mibaye. So then, if the donkey gives birth to a horse, where there already the dissimilarities are glaring. The donkey has the world of donkey has kedushas b'chor. The horse has no kedushas b'chor. And if there are no similarities whatsoever, the entire point of the brayse is just to teach me about exemption. Wouldn't we have known that? So the Gemara says, well, maybe not. Itzter chsakat achamina hasam have hu di yesh lakarnayim v'ha ein lakarnayim. Ha parsaser sedukos va parsaser klutos avahacha di idi ein la karnayim idi parsaser klutos ema chamor adom ba'amahu kamash malan. So the Gemara says, here's the havamina. Look, if my donkey gives birth to a horse, so I know halachically it's night and day, right? The donkey has kedushas b'chor, the horse has no kedushas b'chor. I know that, but physiologically, how far off are we from one another? The Gemara notes. Right, I know I read it quickly, but the Gemara notes that when it comes to horse and donkey, they both have fused hoofs. Okay, and when it comes to horse and donkeys, neither of them have horns. So physiologically, they're awfully similar to one another. It's true halachically, it's night and day, but the havamina would have been that since the physiology of both, the anatomy of both, are so similar to one another, so therefore I might have thought that it should have kedushas b'chor. So kamash malan. So that's why the Braisa had to spell that out. To teach us otherwise. Okay. That takes us to the first half of today's daf, and that concludes our discussion regarding mutations and replications and whether or not the mutated animal is going to have kedushas b'chor. Mayhein ba'achila, we're now up to the second half of today's daf, and we're talking now about the halachas of kashrus. Right? This whole section could have been back in Chulin, but we get to discuss it here since the Mishnah brought it up. If I have a kosher animal giving birth to a mutated offspring, even though the offspring looks nothing like a kosher animal, what did the Mishnah say? It's kosher. Meaning, as long as it is a product of a kosher animal, so it is kosher. And then the Mishnah says, just in case we're a little bit confused, the Mishnah says, at the tail end of the Mishnah, that I'll give you the rule. Kol hayotze, sorry, sheyotze min atame tame, vehayotze min atar tahor. Anything coming from something which is non-kosher is not kosher. Anything coming from that which is kosher is kosher. Good. Now, the Gemara says, Lama l'misa she'ayotze. So, why did the Mishnah have to say that at the tail end of the Mishnah? Meaning, if you're reading through the Mishnah, you realize that this is the conclusion. And the Mishnah at the end has to kind of summarize itself. For what reason? So, the Gemara says, Simana ba'amahu. Delo tich lech lach. So, the Gemara says that the Mishnah wanted to make sure that we got the point as clear as possible. So that we don't confuse and we don't reverse. So the Gemara says, because look, if the Mishnah didn't punctuate with anything that is a product of kosher is kosher, anything which is a product of non-kosher is non-kosher, if the Mishnah didn't punctuate that, I would have been confused with and made the following argument. I know it's so strange, by the way, right? I would have posted a picture, I would have sent it to everyone, you know, I would have sent it to all my family, like, look at this. Right. They make exhibits out of this, out of these mutations. Right, my cow just gave birth to something that looked like a horse. It's weird, but here's what I would have argued had I not had the Mishnah and the punctuation of the Mishnah. The offspring, you know, it looks like a horse. You know, horses are not kosher. Oh, it's not kosher. Or the opposite. If my horse gave birth to a cow, so I would have made the argument. I would have constructed the following. Well, I know it came from a horse, but it's got simani kashrus. Its hooves are split, it's chewing its cud, right? So I would have made the argument, oh, that's kosher. In other words, the Mishnah wants to make sure that we know that when you have a mutation and the offspring does not look like its mother, in terms of ma'achalos asuros, in terms of kashrus, the and the only factor in which determination of whether it's kosher or not is going to be its mother. Mishnah wants to make sure that we got that point really clear. Minani mili the Gemara says, and how do I know this? Tanu rabbanan achezel lo sochlu mimala ger mimafrise aparsa. This you can't eat, right? The Pesukim, right, Torah, it gives us halachas of kashrus two places, one in Shmini and the other one in Re'eh. We went over this extensively back in Chulin. So the phrasing of the Torah is a little bit strange. This you cannot eat, even though it chews its cud and it has split hoofs. Now, what does that mean? It means that you can have an animal that has all the simani kashrus. I mean, there are only two. You can have an animal that has all the simani kashrus, and yet you're not allowed to eat it. Right? It's like a riddle. But we already know the solution to the riddle. Exactly. Mutations. That when my horse gives birth to a something that shoes its card and has split hooves, it's still tame. It's still not kosher. Now, the Bryce over here considers, why don't we go in the opposite? And as far as the Pasuk is concerned, Hachikamar. Davar haba mimale hager mafrise aparsa lo sechal. So, and what the Torah is teaching us is that something that comes from a kosher animal, but if it does not have the simani kashrus, we're not allowed to eat it. So the Gemara says, no, that is an untenable way to learn the Torah. Why? Tamalomar gamal tamehu. Because the Torah says that a camel is tame, period. And the way Rashi understands the Gemara's conclusion is that, what is your standard camel? Your standard camel is where its mother's a camel and its father's a camel. And the Torah is telling us that this is a camel and it's tame. So not mutations, not outliers, but the standard camel is going to be born from a camel. And that, of course, is going to be tame. However, what is unusual is when the camel is being born from a kosher mother. Under those circumstances, there we have the reverse, that kol yotzei min hatar is tahor. So, hu tamei, sorry, I should have read a little bit more Gemara, where the Gemara makes exactly this point. Hu tamei ve'ein tamei anolim min hatahor, tamei ela tahor. Okay. Rabbi Shimon Omer, gamol shnei pa'amim, echa gamol anolim min hagamol, ve'echa gamol anolim min hapara. Now, to all this, Rabbi Shimon argues. Rabbi Shimon does not agree with our Mishnah. Rabbi Shimon does not say that something that emerges from a kosher animal is by definition kosher, regardless of whether it has simanim or not. Rabbi Shimon learns out from the repetition of the Torah saying para two times, once in Shmini and the second time in Parshas Re'eh. So by that, the Torah is telling us that a camel, regardless of its lineage, it can come from a non-kosher animal, it can even come from a kosher animal, it's still going to be tummy. Okay, so Rabbi Shimon disagrees with our Mishnah. V'rabbanan, hai gama gama mai avdilei. Now, as far as the Chachamim are concerned, they also know the Torah repeats, but for a different reason. Chad lesser atzma v'chad lesser chalbo. One is to prohibit the camel, and the other is to prohibit the milk that comes out of the camel. Now, Rabbi Shimon, lesser chalbo menale, nafkalei me es hagamal. Now, as far as Rabbi Shimon is concerned, he learns the same point, from the inclusionary word of es hagamal. Es is always a ribui. It comes to include something. Not only are you not allowed to eat the camel, but you're not allowed to eat the milk that comes out of the camel. V'rabanan, esem lo darshe. Now, as far as the Chachamim concerned, they don't darshan the S. And how do I know that? So the Gemara is going to tell us something that we've heard numerous times and we get to hear again. Baruch Hashem. Okay, the Tanya will enter the following braisa. Shimon ha'amsuni ha'yadosh kol es ve'es shebetorah. Shimon ha'amsuni had the following thesis. Every time the Torah says the word S, it's coming to be marb, it's coming to include. But then he gets to a pasuk in the Torah of, and you are to fear God. What are we including over there? Right? And if we are going to suggest for a moment that there's something to include, that's not monotheism. So, es Hashem lokech atira. So at that point, Shimon HaMsuni realized the thesis is no good. It's no good. So basically, instead of defending his thesis, he tears it all up. So, Piresh. He separates. He stops. Right? Throws the thesis away. Amr lo tamid of Rabbi kol esen shadar shamatei aleihem. And the Gemara over here teaching us some very profound lessons. What about all that work that you put in? Right? That was a lot of effort and energy. Right? You don't want to just simply defend yourself. Right? Otherwise, you're going to have all that time lost. Amr lo tamid kishem shekibalti tzchar ladrisha kach ani mekabel tzchar laprisha. And so Rabbi Shimon HaMsuni says, no, that's not how it works. When you're learning Torah and you're exerting effort and energy in the learning of the Torah, you're rewarded for the extra effort and energy you expended in the learning. Even though your results, your conclusions may not be correct conclusions, but that's not what the purpose of learning Torah is. Purpose of learning Torah is to put in effort and energy. And the fact of the matter is that I had to abandon my thesis. Okay, that's great. That's not the point. Yes.
We left
the world of Kedusha.
No, I'm just trying to It should be a different standard, right?
There are two different.
No, I realize that.
Right. Okay. Good. I'm sorry for cutting off so early. But in other words, we're in a new area of discussion. I mean, this is machalos asuros, right? Petra chamor goes back. The kedushas bechor goes back to the amud aleph. This is now a discussion simply of machalos asuros. So kachani mekabas chala prisha. Adshe by Rabbi Kiva v'limed es Hashem l'kechatir. Now Rabbi Kiva does defend the thesis, and he says no, there's something to include. Okay. Now if you know the Gemara already, so you know the answer. It's funny if you didn't know the Gemara and you didn't know the conclusion. Like, what are you going to add to Kadosh Baruch Hu in terms of Yira? Oh. So, the Rabbos Tamid HaChamim. So, in other words, Tamid HaChamim, who are representatives, in other words, they are learning Kadosh Baruch Hu's Torah, and so that is the S that we're coming to include, that they also are going to have some Yira similar to Yira HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
When Rabbi Akiva is against the Chachamim, he doesn't win, so that's not accepted then.
Again, we're talking about Hashkafa over here. This is
because there is other places that we use et to...
Many other places. Correct.
So if Rabbi Akiva is saying, Chachamim do not agree, so we should not accept what he's saying.
Well, he's arguing right now against Shimon HaMsuni.
No, but are there other places too? No?
I don't know. I can only tell you what's here in front of me. You're right. Right throughout the Gemara, we have the S as a ribui. That's correct. Absolutely correct. Okay. Amalei Rav Acha, Breid Rav LeRav Asher. Let me ata. Time of the Rabbanim Gama Gama of Rabbi Shimon. Me'ez Gama Halav Hachi Hava Mina Chalav Debehema Tameya Shari. The Gemara says, do you know, we had a bizarre discussion. We had a really bizarre discussion. Meaning, the milk of a camel, you're not allowed to eat. Why are you not allowed to eat it? So either it's because of the repetition of Gamal, or because of the S, which is coming to include the milk of a camel. Like, do you realize that we were entertaining, that we're allowed to drink the milk of a camel? Like, what? It was a bizarro discussion. The camel, of course, is a non-kosher animal. We're not allowed to eat the camel. Oh, but the milk that comes out of it, oh, that would have been fine, but we have a drasha that addresses the milk. Why do we need a drasha to address the milk? The milk is coming from a non-kosher animal. Isn't the milk by definition not kosher? That's a strong question. So the Gemara says, do you know bug juice? And I love using that phrase, and I'll just keep doing it. You know that bug juice? Basically, if I squeeze a bug and get some juice out of it, I know it's revolting, but that's what we're talking about. So when it comes to bug juice, so we have a drasha that teaches us that that the bug juice is going to be usher because the Torah says, ha-tameim, that extra hay is there to teach us that not only is the bug itself going to be usher to eat, but any thing that is expressed out of it also is going to be usher to eat. If the camel's usher to eat, so shouldn't the milk expressed out of the camel also be usher to eat? And like, what kind of discussion were we having? So it's the Rechsakadat Chamina hold the Behemoth Torah Nami Chidashu. So the Gemara launches into an unbelievably interesting discussion. What gives us the right to drink milk of a cow? Okay, and I'm not discussing the health. I'm just discussing the halacha. What gives us the right to drink the milk of a cow? Now, the cow obviously is a kosher animal. So isn't the milk by definition kosher? The Gemara says, not so fast. Meaning, obviously the conclusion is yes. But if you think about it, what is milk? Now, that's a really interesting question. I'm asking halachically, right? Not physiologically. What is milk? So, hold the behemah Torah nami chidushu. Da amar mar dam nekar v'nasa chalav v'kevin de chidushu de behemah tamea nami lishtarei kamash malan. So one halachic approach to what milk is, you know what milk is? Milk is blood. Meaning the Gemara is basically looking at it from the following perspective. Interesting that when an animal gives birth, or for that matter a human gives birth, so the bleeding stops, right? In other words, the menstrual flow stops, and what happens is that the mammal lactates. So halachically, the Gemara assumes that what's happening is that the blood that would have come out menstrually is now coming out through lactation. Basically, the blood is converting into milk. Now, blood, of course, is usher. And now the milk is mutter. But isn't milk just basically converted blood? Oh. So the Gemara says, so the idea that we drink milk in of itself already represents a tremendous chiddush. Because the source of the milk is something which is prohibited. So if that's true, so then just take that very same argument and now move it over to the camel. Well, I know the camel's usher. But so is the blood of a kosher animal. And if milk, which is converted blood of a kosher animal, is okay, so then maybe we could argue that the milk coming out of a camel is also okay. So the Gemara says, okay, this is what we just argued is a tremendous argument. It's a great argument. But that's assuming you're right. The Gemara says not everyone agrees to that understanding of milk. Hanich laman damer dam nekar v'nasa chalav laman damer evarem misparkin hey menna ve'einav shechazeres ala adesim var bechodesh ma'ik lameimar. So the Gemara says, yeah, but not everyone agrees that that milk is just simply converted blood. There are those who are of the opinion that the fact that a woman stops menstruating after birth, that has to do with just simply the trauma of birth. Right? Birth is traumatic and it leaves the woman just basically worn out next 24 months. And so therefore, that's the only reason why there's no blood coming out of a mammal, 24 months postpartum. And so the milk is not converted blood, and so therefore we lost our whole argument. So the Gemara says, but still, I'll tell you what, we've lost that argument, but we can make another argument. The Gemara says, but we have a very similar argument. Consider a cow while it's being milked. Again, I repeat, I'm going to the farm tomorrow. So the cow while it's being milked. So So are you allowed to eat the cow? And the answer, of course, is not. Meaning while it's alive. The cow while it's alive is Aver Menachai. And meanwhile, I can eat a byproduct of that, meaning that cow which is Aver Menachai currently, and now the milk that comes out of it, isn't that milk a byproduct of Isser? And the answer, of course, is yes, it is. And meanwhile, the Torah allows it. And so therefore, we made the same argument, just a little bit differently, but the same point. So milk which is a byproduct of Isser, and yet we're allowed to eat it, so therefore I'll say the same thing regarding the milk that comes out of a camel. Milk coming out of a camel is milk that's coming from a byproduct of Isser, and therefore it should be okay. V'hilka chafil be'behema tamei lishtare. Good. Now we understand the Havamina and Kamash Malan, and now that's the Chiddush. The Chiddush is that either because the Torah says Gamal twice, or because it says Esa Gamal, so now we know that the milk of a camel is going to be prohibited. Okay. We're going to stop over here tomorrow. We're going to pick it up with a great discussion. How do I know that milk of a cow is mutter? Meaning, now that we've constructed two very good arguments of why milk should be usher, either because it's converted blood or because it's a product of Aver Menachai, so therefore the milk should be usher. That's the Havamina. The Gemara says, why isn't that Havamina stronger? Why shouldn't we argue that milk is prohibited? Okay, so, and I leave this off. That will be our first discussion for tomorrow. Let's recap. Today we learned all about mutations and replications. If the offspring is replicating its mother, so then it's going to have Kedushas Bechor. If it's fully mutated, no Kedushas Bechor. Partial mutation, so then it's going to have Kedushas Bechor, but again, it's a Shinui, so it doesn't go on the Mizbeach. That's a really simple summary of first half of today's daf. Second half of today's daf talks about Kol HaYotzei Min HaTamei Tamei, Kol HaYotzei Min HaTaharei Taharei, that as long as the mother is a kosher animal, whatever comes out of it, even if fully mutated, is going to be kosher. It's going to be kosher la'achila. We learned this morning that Rabbi Shimon argues with that point. Rabbi Shimon does not agree with that. We will discuss more with Rabbi Shimon tomorrow. In fact, a good part of tomorrow's daf is dedicated to Rabbi Shimon, but our Mishnah doesn't side like that. And then a great discussion in the Gemara regarding the milk that comes out of a camel. We have a drasha that teaches that milk is coming out of a camel is going to be asur. Gemara's question, why do I need a drasha? The camel's asur. The milk should be asur as well. I need a drasha. And the answer is, yes, I do. Because the idea that milk in of itself is mutter is a chiddush, either because it's converted blood or because it's coming out of Aver Menachai. And so therefore the milk should be usser in general. It's not. Milk of a cow is mutter. But using that argument, I can make the same argument regarding milk of a camel. Even though the camel's usser, but the milk should be fine. And therefore I need the drushas.